Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. I mentioned last segment or two segments ago that my TV went out this weekend, so that's good news, bad news. I get to get a new one. Rose's a bedroom guy last hour texted in that he's got an 83-incher in his bedroom. So this is a guy that put roses from his ceiling on Valentine's Day, and he has an 83-incher in the bedroom. Wow.
Wow.
I mean, that's...
Knows what he's doing.
The guy's got game.
That's a big TV for a bedroom.
Yeah.
It's a big TV.
I mean, period. It's a big TV, period.
It is. It's like a movie.
Even in a sports bar, that's a big TV.
No doubt.
Wow.
All right. Well, we are good. I'm still getting texts going, when is the Patriot hating segment? That was Friday.
Yeah, I can't do the same thing every day, but we'll do it.
Pete's back.
We'll do it again.
We'll find something else.
I saw something very creative. I heard a little bit of it. Very creative.
Were your spies giving you information back?
They said they loved it. And they were Patriot fans. I said it was hysterical. Is that good?
It was good.
Yeah.
It was good. All right. Coming up, again, I want to get more reaction post-game from a couple games. I got some things I got to say, and I know you do too. Packers and Cowboys, and, of course, Chiefs and Colts. Those were two very interesting games yesterday. Get to all of that. We've got Steve Zabin at the bottom of the hour because Jay Gruden has been fired as the head coach, and Zabes is from the Washington, D.C. market. And we've got OJ talking about the Great White Hope. Let you know what that's all about on Twitter. But first, it is time for a SportsCenter rundown. Here's Chris.
All right, spoiler alert. Turn your radio down. ALDS game three from the Trop. The Rays putting it on the Stros.
Nice.
8-1, bottom of the fourth. Got three more games in baseball to go today. Jay Gruden out as head coach of the Redskins. The Bucks will take on the Panthers in London without two offensive linemen. Alex Kappa and DeMar Dotson already ruled out.
Kappa.
And football.
Monday Night Football
Monday
tonight.
Night Football tonight. Thank you. That's what I was going to say.
Browns.
Knew I had something.
San Francisco. 49ers coming off a bye week and still undefeated at 3-0.
Well, Alex Kappa broke his arm in the second quarter yesterday, and he still played. He finished the game, but he's going to be out a few weeks.
Wow.
He's a gamer.
Gamer. So speaking of that game in London, I read that Gene Deckerhoff is going to do the first quarter of the Florida State game on Saturday.
Because they play Clemson.
Yeah.
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 So the
they give way to somebody else so that he can take a flight to Atlanta and then connect with the team in London.
Why doesn't he just
probably wants to keep Cal Ripken. He wants to keep
the streak going.
3:30 is when they take on Clemson.
Yeah.
Which let small children watch that game. It could get ugly.
It will be ugly.
Yeah. That's the best time to leave the Clemson Florida State game after the first quarter.
Yeah, him and about that game's in Clemson, so say the rest of the Florida State fans will probably be walking out of Doak Campbell. But
so they're
going
to
be ticked off about what happened against North Carolina, and they had the week off. And they're going to
it's a tough spot for Florida State.
They are going to take it out. That's got 50-14 written all over it.
Oh, I don't know if they score that much.
Oh, I do. You're right,
so
it'll be 60.
Chris, you were about to do the math on Deckerhoff. So the game starts at 3:30.
Right, so the game starts at 3:30.
But then gets to the car. Probably got to drive from Clemson to Atlanta.
To Atlanta, which I don't know how far of a drive that is.
Probably an hour.
You'd
if
be
he's lucky.
You'd be better suited to answer that question than me.
Roughly, but then the airport's on the south side of Atlanta.
Yeah.
Dude, that could be a couple hours.
It's an hour and a half, 2 hours.
So that's 6 o'clock. I don't know what time. Maybe he's got a 9 o'clock flight.
And could the Braves be playing that day too if it goes long?
No.
No? Okay. Yeah.
Game five for the NLCS would be on Wednesday.
So say it's a nonstop from Atlanta to London at 9 o'clock.
That's still a six, seven hour flight.
Maybe
So if you're leaving at...
So it's 3 a.m. Eastern time, 3 a.m. Eastern, at best case scenario, he lands at 3 a.m. Eastern American, and he loses 4 hours.
But he goes on air at 8:30 Eastern.
In the...
Morning. 8:30 a.m. Is when coverage starts of Bucks-Panthers from London, which is 12:30 there.
So he's literally going to get off the plane and go straight on the air with no sleep.
Right. Well, he'll sleep on the plane,
I don't sleep on planes, but Wow. All right. Good luck to him.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens there. All right, let's get into this. Couple of games that really got my attention and yours as well. Yeah. The Green Bay game in Dallas. And I know Green Bay has had some success in Dallas.
A lot.
Going into this game, though, I thought Dallas was a pretty solid team. I wasn't sold yet on Green Bay. I thought their defense had been fool's gold up to this point. But, man, they not only beat, they took it to them.
That was a blowout. I mean, that was 10 points, but it was like some garbage stuff.
Yeah,
well,
that close.
They manhandled them. No Devontae Adams.
Was
right?
It 28-0? I
mean, yeah.
Wasn't it?
At one point, it was 28-0,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, because the Cowboys had their little furious comeback.
Right.
Yeah.
Like I used air quotes there for furious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, they were so far behind.
And that's without Aaron Rodgers throwing a touchdown pass in that game.
Well, I do think that there was a bit of, because, you know, go back to the Packers' last game. First and goal from the one.
Oh, yeah.
They run four consecutive pass plays.
Yeah.
I don't think it was a coincidence that they handed their running back the ball every time they got inside the five yesterday.
Yeah. Wow. And he was very good. 107 yards, had four touchdowns, obviously.
Well, here's Aaron Rodgers talking about the running game afterward.
Yeah, he was running. He was running well. You know, his typical style, slasher. Cutbacks, breaking tackles. You know, I thought it was a great game for him. He was obviously the hot hand and got a lot of touches down the red zone and finished those off nicely.
Now, Dak Prescott, if you look at his stats, a lot of yards, a lot of, you know, a couple touchdowns, but three interceptions. And I go back to my point that I was making on this show a week or two ago when we were talking about his contract. He's not having great games against good teams. He's not elite. And every one of these games is killing his negotiations with Jerry Jones trying to get an elite deal of $30 million a year.
Yep.
Go ahead.
The other thing, too, I thought Ezekiel Elliott would absolutely get over 100 yards against the Green Bay rush defense, which hasn't been great.
Yeah.
But you give the Packers all the credit in the world, and they really have the Cowboys' number, especially in Dallas.
Yeah.
I'm going to make a comparison here with Dak Prescott.
Two.
And I don't mean it to be mean, but it's going to come off this way.
Okay. Uh-oh.
Is he Kirk Cousins? He'll beat the bad teams, and he'll look pretty good beating the bad teams.
No, that's a fair comparison.
But
I
when
think.
You put him up against somebody who's very good to elite, he's just not good enough to get it done.
And maybe he psychs himself out like going
not
up
bad.
Against
not
Rodgers when he knows he's going to have to put up 30. Plus, on the other hand, you do not expect the Cowboys' defense. I know Green Bay's defense was very, very good yesterday, and it's causing turnovers and all that stuff. But Dak Prescott's probably thinking, all right, I got to put up 30 to be in this game. I got to. As good as our defense for the Cowboys has been against not very great competition, I need to put up 30. Maybe psyched. Maybe he's still in that phase where better teams, better quarterbacks, he gets psyched out. Well.
Or maybe better defenses just shut him down because he's not that good. Here he is afterwards saying we put ourselves in too big of a hole.
When you do that, you put yourself in a hole and you put yourself in a position that no matter how hard you fight, no matter how good things you do in the back end, it's hard to come out of that against a good team like they are. And we start off that first drive moving, have that turnover, and then after that, a couple of more. And as you just said, you put yourself back like that. It's a good team we're playing. It's hard to come all the way back from that and get on top.
Now let's talk about what happened to Jason Garrett in this game. Jason Garrett drives Cowboy fans nuts because he shows no emotion, no inflight, never seems upset, just sitting there, you know, like howdy doody on the sideline. And yesterday he got fired up. He got fired up. He wanted instant replay involved, got out the red flag, threw it with authority at the feet of the official, and quite possibly said something.
Got another flag. Yep.
And the official reciprocated his red flag throwing with a yellow flag throwing and penalized him 15 yards.
I equate that to a baseball analogy. That, to me, was like a manager getting blown out, 8-0, couple of questionable bang-bang calls have gone against you, and you're trying to do something to spark your team. Like, if he could have been – if that was a baseball game, he would have been ejected.
When is the last time you remember a head coach getting a flag for 15 yards? I can't.
It's happened a couple times this year.
This year?
Yeah, it has.
I haven't seen it yet.
Yep. I want to say, John Gruden get one? I think it's happened a couple of times this year.
Now,
so blatant. I mean, that was just
– But the story's not over here.
Yeah.
After the game, Jerry Jones was asked about it. And I'm paraphrasing because I don't have the quote in front of me. It says something about, it's very uncharacteristic of Jason Garrett, but I don't know if the little darling heard something that he had never heard before, and little darling was the official. Seems a little politically incorrect. I don't know if Jerry Jones is catching any heat for that today. But anyway, I liked it. I liked all of it.
Oh, no, it was great. You know, Devontae Adams not there. Rodgers, no touchdowns, no picks. Amari Cooper, though, that would have been – I know it seems crazy to say that. That's a – it changes the game, the whole attitude. The first pick was Amari Cooper. That was supposed to be – that would have been a gigantic play for the Cowboys. Drops – I mean, just – that's a game changer. And yeah. A game like this, that could be a game changer.
Well, I am perplexed about what I'm going to do at 99.3ESPN.com regarding the my poll, my power rankings for the NFL. We'll have that out tomorrow. Next up now for the Packers, they come back home. They've got a Monday night tilt against a rested Detroit Lions team.
Well, I'll tell you this right now. My power rankings are going to come out tomorrow morning.
For your college football.
They'll be out before the show comes out. Yeah, for my college football.
Yeah.
In all seriousness. And, of course, the New America scene, Boise State, continues to roll.
Wow.
But, seriously, I really think I think the complete body of work, in all honesty, if we're really being serious about it, the number one team in the country right now, based on who they've beaten, schedule, where, when, I think it has to be Ohio State. I think it has to be. Because I just said, just because of the competition, and that can all change. It can all change very. But I'm saying right now, I think Ohio State, you'd have to make them the number one team.
That point spread was 21 points. That was hovering around there. Like if Michigan State scored once, one more time, was going to really rock my world.
That you can't on the first series when you hold Ohio State to nothing, turn the ball over.
Yeah. Right.
And give it to them in plus territory.
Yeah. Yeah. You
can't do that when you're going to be up against it all night long. You can't do that.
And you're a defensive player. You just make those stops, and you're on the bench. You're high five, and your coach is.
And then you got to go right back out.
And then, now we got to go back out and do it again.
Yeah, that's rough.
It is, but I think, and it's so close. I mean, we're splitting. We're nitpicking here, but I would. Right now, today, I would put, and they're probably going to be in my poll tomorrow, Ohio State. Well, no, they won't be. LSU is still number one for me because I picked them to win the whole thing.
Yeah, LSU, but, their win going into Austin, and we'll know a lot more about that win because Saturday we get Texas, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
So it'll just be another big-time matchup where we can then use Texas as the measuring stick between Oklahoma and LSU.
I might have, like this week in the AP poll, Ohio State and Georgia tied for third. So we may have a tie tomorrow, first time ever.
We've got
for first.
Did you watch Georgia on Saturday night?
No, that's one.
They
team
got off to a slow start.
Not much, but
about halfway through the second quarter until Georgia really got with it.
Yeah,
Tennessee
had the lead for a while.
I kept watching it, kind of shaking my head. Going,
yeah,
what's going on? Well,
whose defense is this?
I know, but that's what happens.
They didn't take the game seriously.
I know.
It's you talk about trap.
Who's
games.
Georgia got next? Who are they looking ahead to? Does anybody know?
They got Florida in a couple weeks.
They got Georgia.
Or end of the month, I should say.
Yeah.
You guys have Rutgers. There's a win. Your IU team.
That's right.
Georgia has South Carolina next weekend.
You know what? That's a big game for them. I know it doesn't mean much nationally for the ratings. That's like a miniature little rivalry going on.
It's South Carolina the weekend of the 12th, this Saturday.
This Saturday is South Carolina, Georgia, Saturday the 12th.
Yep, then they got Kentucky on the 19th. Yep. That's in Athens before a week off, and then the Gators in Jacksonville.
Okay. All right, we started the segment talking about the big point, about the NFL and the Green Bay and Dallas. One other game I want to get to here in this segment, because it also had a big point spread, like some of these college games we're talking about. The Colts were 11-point underdogs going into Kansas City to take on Patrick Mahomes. Very impressive win all the way around, both sides of the ball for the Colts. They win. Patrick Mahomes got his ankle dinged up early. Maybe that's the key to minimizing his effectiveness. But the Colts win, and Patrick Mahomes afterwards said, I was going to battle through my injury no matter what.
Were you close at all to coming out of the game? No. I mean, I was going to battle through it regardless. I mean, we were in a hard fought game. And so for us, it wasn't going our way, but I felt like we still had a chance. So I was going to find a way to get through the rest of the game.
Meanwhile, on the other side, Frank Reich was happy for him. He was very happy afterward. You could kind of see the relief when the game was done. He thought he was going to win that thing. He said, look, we're not shocked by this performance at all.
Wow, what a great win. What we said in there in that locker room was the one emotion that we were not feeling was shock. I can't even explain it. All week long, we had that feeling. Starting on Wednesday, with the way we practiced, it was by far our best week of practice since we've been here.
All right, before we continue, yeah. We just saw a play in this game where the Astros against the Rays, the Astros were, everybody was shifted over to the second base side. Their shortstop, Carrera, dove to catch a ground ball. Was it a two-hopper or a three-hopper from the second base position to first?
It was two, but it could have been three if the first baseman hadn't stretched.
It got the runner, though.
Yeah, Correa, yeah.
It was an amazing play.
Watch the replay now.
Just,
wow.
Just left.
But he threw it right into the dirt.
I know, just on his knees. Well, nothing on.
One, two. Yeah, it was two-hopper.
Okay. That was impressive.
Good stuff.
All right.
Web gem.
Well, and a lot of backlash on the Kirk Cousins to Dak Prescott comparison.
Yeah.
Gator Times says Kirk Cousins, that dude can't sniff the numbers Dak puts up. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about beating good teams, which Dak hasn't done this year. Jake from State Farm says that he's more like Matt Stafford. Okay.
We'll change that tune on Monday night.
Yeah, okay.
You don't. Why? You doubt me?
Who do you play Monday night?
The Lions and the Packers, Monday Night Football, dude.
Okay, great.
After a week off, we're ready.
Yeah, then Dolphins Nostalgia says that Prescott is Alex Smith. He's just a game manager.
I'm getting flack.
But we
that.
Found out you can't pay that dude that kind of money. You can't pay the quote-unquote game manager $30-plus million a year and expect to put out a competitive team.
But Jerry almost has to, right? Jerry screwed.
You kept letting him put up games. Well, I guess this last game wasn't bad. 2 weeks ago was bad.
Somebody's giving me flack about Ohio State. Look, LSU's still going to be number one. Yeah, Ohio State. I'm just going by everything that I have seen. They look better than Clemson to me. Alabama, you don't know because they play nobody either. So I mean,
I don't even think Clemson's part of the conversation right now.
No, they're still like fifth in my poll. I think right now the two best teams that I've seen thus far are LSU and Ohio State. But I got to tell you, LSU's favored by 13.5.
That look,
against Florida.
Yeah.
13
really?
And a half.
Yeah. That might be a dangling carrot game.
Juicy.
I'll have to look into that a little more. Lost my first dangling carrot pick of the year this year.
Which one? Was that?
Cowboys Packers.
You know, I was watching because we did our pigskin picks on Friday.
Stupid.
Chris started off, lost the Central Florida
game. No, I won Florida.
Lost the Iowa game. Then you won Florida.
Yep.
Lost Michigan State, so you were 1-4 at that point.
Then 1-3.
1-3. Then you got up Sunday. Lost Tampa Bay.
Yep.
Lost Tennessee.
Yep. Which, hold on, but real
lost
quick.
Lost Dallas.
How does a kicker miss 4 field goals in a game? If you're Mike Vrabel, stop rolling your kicker out there.
The last time he did roll
just
him out.
Just go for it.
I was surprised because they were only down 14-7.
Yeah.
At that point, quit kicking. Let's go for it.
Oh.
Yeah, and then the surprise pick you made of the week, the Indy win over Kansas City, gave you 2-6 instead of 1-7. So good job there.
Yeah.
Well, you know what?
By the way, that's
you know, I thought last night Al Michaels, maybe it was Al Michaels or Chris Collinsworth made an interesting point about you know they took a lot of time in the storyline talking about all right Andrew Luck retired, big surprise Jacoby Brissett. One of them made the point, you know, since 2017. Jacoby Brissett started more games than Andrew Luck anyway, so this is really no big deal for this football team. This is who they got. This is who they're riding with.
Yeah, but the 2017 version of Jacoby Brissett and the 2019 version, vastly different players.
True.
I agree. He's also really, got a very good defense for the Colts.
Yep.
I mean, that's a good – I mean, they beat up
Mahomes
last
night. And when you can lean on the running game like they showed last night.
Yeah. Well, that was the thing. They went old-fashioned style. That was like 1990s football. I think they rushed it over 40 times and played good defense. That was the winning formula in like the Bill Parcells era.
That was the winning formula in the AFC Championship game last year.
For the first half.
For the first, scored. Okay, then, but the first then, half was when the New England Patriots had most of their success against the Chiefs.
Yeah.
That was the formula. Really good defense. use the running game to chew up a lot of the clock. And the Pats didn't mm-hmm. open it up and start throwing the ball until late in the game when they had to get points on the board.
And
you give it, Mack was outstanding, 29 carries, 132 yards, no touchdowns, but, 36, 37, 43, 45, 45 rushing
45
attempts.
45 rushing
night.
Attempts. I mean, that's unheard of. I can't remember the last time a team did that. The Florida Gators are texting in now. Joey Buttons.
Yeah.
Gators going to beat LSU. Mark it. Game of Thrones road rage guy. Don't worry about LSU being ranked. They're losing this weekend. Yeah, keep it coming. I think it's going to be crazy. I am shocked by the point spread. I thought it'd be a one-score game.
But it's what they want because it's going to make people – it's what they want to do. They want to balance the books.
All right,
that's
so
what they want to do.
Me...
They don't necessarily think that Florida is a 13.5 point underdog, but it's a sexy number to try to balance the books.
That's a big number.
It is. But you know what? Two scores in college football? I mean, that could be a hard-fought, well-played game by both sides, and Florida lose by two touchdowns. Yeah, they go, oh, man.
Do you ever remember two ranked teams that are only ranked two spaces apart, 5 and 7, being a two-touchdown difference?
Oh, it's happened.
It's happened. I think it's been more.
Well, and you also put in Death Valley at night. Gators coming off of a physical game against Auburn. LSU had. I know Utah State is good,
but they blew them
out. Utah State out. I think the week prior, LSU had Vandy.
Yeah.
That sounds right.
Yeah, and they gave a bunch of points up to them, but kind of late, but they scored 66. So, I mean, that's going to be it. It is going to be, because you could score on LSU. There's no doubt the Gators are going to put up some points. There is no doubt.
Right.
It's just a question of can you slow down
Barrow? And it's a completely different offense this week that the Gators are going up against LSU.
Spread.
It's a spread offense now. It's funny to say it, but it really is. It's a spread offense. They're going to open it up and chuck the ball around the yard versus Auburn. They wanted to do everything in their power not to have the ball in the hands of their freshman quarterback. Mm-hmm.
Tattoo guy says, go Gators. Jason from Naples. God bless him.
Man.
Go Noles. Grouper says, every time LSU is favored, seems like the Gators beat them. Gunpowder says LSU scares me more than Georgia and Alabama.
Yeah, well, I can understand that.
Philly Strong says Gators struggle with Towson for a half.
Yeah, but I mean, but again, that's a tune-up game. You won 38-0. They didn't allow any points.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm not putting anything into that.
No.
Those games mean nothing.
I look a lot more at the Auburn game than the Towson game.
Yeah, break down that film instead.
Right.
Exactly. All right, very good. Coming up in the next 30 minutes, we've got Steve Zabin from Washington, D.C., an old colleague of mine. I think you'll enjoy hearing him talk about Jay Gruden being fired. We've got O.J. Simpson on Twitter, again, within the last couple of hours, talking about white running backs. That's
his words.
That should go on for a long time.
It could. It could. Yeah, right. And don't forget tonight, Monday Night Football, the undefeated 49ers coming off a bye week. They host the 2-2 Browns, Baker Mayfield and company. Should be a good time. 7:30 airtime tonight, brought to you by Twin Peaks here on 99.3 ESPN. Sheeman and Shepard, still warming up on a Monday. 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Obviously, the big news of the day, Jay Gruden fired as the head coach of the Washington Redskins. And joining us from our nation's capital, from the team 980 and 95.9, and also, by the way, incidentally, from Milwaukee's 97.3, the game. He's everywhere. He's Steve Zabin. He's got shows in every city in America. Zabes, how are you?
How are you?
Got to keep him guessing, boys. You got to have, a number of entities on line 1, line 2, line 3 to keep them off guard. Tough business. Great to talk to you again, Mr. Sheeman. It's been a long time since you and J-Dub and road trip back in the day.
It has been a while. It has been. And meanwhile, while I've been bouncing from job to job and sometimes without jobs, you've always managed to have two or three simultaneously. So I've always admired that about you. So good job on that.
the Turk's coming for me, too. Eventually, I won't have any jobs. Then I'll move to Florida and I'll play golf, hopefully.
Sounds good. Of course, Jay Gruden no longer has a job. This was the worst-kept secret in football. It finally happens after an 0-5 start, but I'll start off by asking your reaction to this move.
Not surprising. I always say that, and people were saying to me on the radio, like, what's it going to accomplish? You know, firing a coach mid-year. I said, boys, you're looking at it the wrong way. It's not what is it going to accomplish. It's literally, can an organization tolerate listening to a dead coach coaching for another week? It's the Monday through Friday that wears you out as a team and as a fan base. And so it was going to be intolerable to hear Jay go through the motions of, yep, we're trying hard, coaching them up, want to get him in there, working on Dwayne Haskins. Hopefully he can learn some more. Like, you just couldn't hear his voice anymore at 0-5. And as a non-competitive 0-5, they ran no plays in the red zone yesterday against the Patriots. None. Zero.
Well, I'll tell you, I just, like you, I was following your tweets when Bruce Allen was speaking. I just watched it, the whole thing. Craig and I just listened to it. My God. My goodness. I mean, so here's what I've summed up. Bill Callahan's going to be an upgrade. Numerous times, we all get it, the Redskins are 0-5. Alex Smith wasn't hurt. Maybe none of this would have happened. They don't want to trade Trent Williams. The culture is damn good, though. Oh, my God. God bless your colleague there, Tom Fitzgerald from The Athletic, who blasted about, you know, it felt like Tom Hagen and Godfather. This committee owes an apology, Senator. No, you need to apologize.
Yes.
To the fan.
Yes. And the fact that that Bruce Allen didn't have a single warm or collegial word to say about Jay Gruden after 6 years and two contracts, by the way, longest tenured Redskin coach under Dan Snyder's ownership of 20 years and the only coach to get a second deal. Not a single thing to say about, you know what, it was a tough deal. Jay was trying his hardest, but it was time to make a change. No, none of that, which tells me, and this is how these guys work, they're gangsters, especially Bruce Allen, who was dubbed the Prince of Darkness when he was down at Tampa Bay. They're going after Jay's money. Mm-hmm. They're going after Jay's money in a grievance. You watch. It's going to happen. Even though today Bruce Allen said it was not a firing, quote-unquote, for cause.
That's right. I remember that stuck out like a sore thumb. There's no doubt about
it. He's supposed to make, what, $5 more million a year for the next several years, right?
Just next year, I think.
Oh, next year?
Yeah.
Just next year, but, you know, the remainder of this year, next.
Yeah.
And the embarrassing videos that came out on Friday came out shortly after he named Colt McCoy his starter, who stunk because he's junk. And he's the guy that only Jay believes in, Colt McCoy. And the owner didn't want to see Colt. The owner wants to see Haskins. And so I don't believe that there is coincidence in timing like that.
All right, let's follow up on that. Talking with Steve Zabin from our nation's capital. Jay Gruden fired today. Jay Gruden's managing of quarterbacks. It's been his history with the Washington Redskins. I mean, we've got RG3 and Kirk Cousins back and forth, and now the Dwayne Haskins thing. In your opinion, do you think Haskins is going to be a good professional quarterback, or is it just way too early to make that assessment?
I used to have opinions on that, Craig, and then I was in the business long enough and I was wrong enough that I decided I'm going to stop sounding stupid on this. I don't know. I can't evaluate quarterbacks like real talent evaluators do. I ask smart people though what they think to kind of cheat off of their test paper on this. And a lot of people thought that Haskins was not unlike JT Barrett or Cardale Jones or any of the other, or Terrell Pryor or any of these other Ohio State products that were in this dominant program that was blowing doors off of people. And so therefore he wasn't necessarily special. Yes, he put up unbelievable stats last year, but otherwise it was hard to say that he really was a top talent in the game. So I'm dubious just because a lot of football people don't think highly of him. Now, Lewis Riddick, ESPN, is a huge champion of his, and I will say I respect Lewis's opinion. So the jury's out.
All right.
Well, what do you think Bill Callahan, other than probably naming, I can't speak officially, but I'm assuming that Colt McCoy will not be starting next week. But, so besides the naming a new quarterback for Bill Callahan, who's taking over on an interim basis, what can he do with this team?
I love the way you say that. So I assume he won't be starting. That's akin to the line in Spinal Tap. So are we doing Stonehenge tomorrow night?
Great line.
No, we're not doing Stonehenge. No, Colt McCoy is so not starting against the Dolphins in Tua Bowl 2019. I'm telling you, I don't know who's going to start. I'm assuming it'll be Haskins. But I have stressed, and I'll do so today on my radio show, this is the most important must lose game this franchise has had in a long time. One click. I'm not kidding. One click in the wrong direction, win-loss, when you're down there at one or two wins,
yeah,
can change the course of your franchise. Remember when the Colts almost won a game?
Yeah.
And almost missed out on Andrew Luck. Now, mm-hmm. he retired, but mm-hmm. they had a lot of good years with him when he was healthy. That's the difference one click can make. The Skins have to lose this game. We have to have the tiebreaker over Miami because Cincinnati is in the mix at possibly 1-15 as well. So who knows?
Wait a minute. Are you guys tanking for Tua also? Because we're doing that down here in Miami.
No. We're not tanking for Tua. Tanking would be we have a plan to be bad. We're bad under our own delusional devices. At least you guys planned for this.
Well, you, sir, and your Washington Redskins are, I believe, a 3.5-point favorite on Sunday here at Hard Rock.
How do they figure that out? Seriously.
I don't know.
How do you make a line on that? The Dolphins are coming off a bye.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Is home field not worth anything? We scored 7-3 in the last 2 weeks. Why would we be favored?
new coach.
Steve Zabin is with us. Zabe, I've read two different articles today that have suggested that those in the know with Daniel Snyder says he has his eye on Mike Tomlin or Todd Bowles for next year. Any thoughts on that?
Well, he's got his eyes on a lot of people. He's also going to get a lot of dial tones if he tries to call those people. I've heard Lincoln Riley been mentioned as well. Bottom line is this. Bowles is gettable because he's not hot right now. Tomlin, I don't know about. I think Urban Meyer is 100% in play.
Really?
I wouldn't guarantee it, but I got from a good source that Greg Williams has been talking to Dan Snyder all year long, even as the coordinator of the Jets.
Wow.
And to me, that makes perfect sense because A, he's not hireable by anyone else. B, he used to be here and had success with the defensive units under Gibbs while here. Hmm. And C, he would present that hard-ass, hey, everyone sit down and shut up attitude that is sellable to a fan base that is desperate for someone to come in and take charge.
Wow.
So file that one away.
We'll do.
Well, I thought Greg and Adam Gase would be going at it already on the sideline. Already, I think it'll happen sooner rather than later. I'm waiting for that. That's the only thing good about the Jets is maybe watching the coaches brawl on the sideline. But Urban Meyer, that is yeah. What kind of money would Mr. Snyder throw at him? Do you think if that
whatever
ever came
takes.
To fruition? Yeah, whatever it takes.
Well, money has never been an object. That's the least of the problems mm-hmm. here.
Wow, Zabes, a lot of talk on local radio about your Nationals and the Dodgers, or is it all
yes.
football all the time? Okay,
Oh, yeah. No. It'll be a healthy split today. I've got to really manage today's content to not overdo it on the Jay thing because this baseball team has been playing the best baseball of pretty much anybody since the end of May. The problem is their bullpen is straight ass. And so Davey Martinez has done a nimble job. That's a technical baseball term. The baseball guy taught me that. Like warp and BABIP and exit velocity. Straight ass would be our bullpen. And so Davey's done a really nimble job of saying, look, I'll steal a couple innings from Max here. I'll steal a couple from Corbin here. It just hasn't worked out because, I mean, this Dodger team, this is a team that's a straight killer of a team. I mean, most baseball teams don't scare me. This Dodger team is frightening when they get it going.
Well, I mean, they're so hungry from the last couple of years, but they've had bullpen issues too in the past, and Kershaw's never been all that reliable,
True.
As far as consistency. So, I mean, I thought the Nationals have a chance, and nothing's over yet. I mean, all these series could end today, which is amazing. To me, I thought a couple of them would go a lot deeper. But, hey, I mean, you never know. I'm from Boston, so when I saw them come back from 3-0 in the Yankees, there is nothing in sports that will ever surprise me again. Nothing. So anything is possible, especially in baseball.
Yeah, and Dave Roberts is there.
Yes,
he is. Managing the Dodgers.
Yeah.
I mean, that steal is maybe the greatest play in baseball history, I think. That and Willie Mays catching the ball over his head mm-hmm. in center field like a basket.
Mm. Talking with Steve Zabin. Zabes, you also do a show through technology, a morning show in Milwaukee. So I guess a lot of Giannis Antetokounmpo. When his contract is he a lifer, Buck, or is he going to be pursued by everybody and go to so-called greener pastures elsewhere?
It's going to be a very turbulent year because the GM of the Bucks, John Horst, got fined for simply stating the facts, which is Giannis will be eligible for the Supermax next summer, and he will receive a Supermax offer.
Yeah,
they deem that tampering. Believe it or not. They'll be coming for him. The good thing is for the Bucks, Giannis loves the city. He loves the team. And so he is not your typical American AAU player who wants to be a movie star necessarily. He's more about basketball, and he loves how the city has embraced him. But I'd be very nervous once the time comes that he can't be lured away. Mm-hmm. I think it's 50-50, to be honest.
All right, we'll keep our eye on that situation. Zabes, we got to talk more often, man. This is fantastic.
Great
Thanks stuff. For coming on today.
Boys, it was fun. Two of all, 2019. I can't wait.
And let us know when Mr. Snyder's your guest, because I'd love to maybe we'll simulcast that. That'll be fun.
Yeah, that'll be the fifth of never. He doesn't talk to the media at all.
What are you talking about? Bruce Allen just said he's available from time to time. Come on.
Yeah, Bruce Allen says a lot of
things. I know.
Most of them are lies. All right, boys.
All right, take care.
Thanks, Abe. Always a good time. That was fantastic. That's an all-timer interview right there. We got a lot we got to rehash from that. The fifth of never. I love that.
Urban Meyer.
Greg Williams. I mean, I want to talk about all this when we come back. Although we've got an OJ tweet as well,
yeah,
we've got to get to when we come back. So we'll take care of all that on the program. And we are 1 hour away from Wikipedia, which today will be week 5 NFL trivia. So it's all fresh in your head. You got a shot at this. That'll be 1 hour from now. It's Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app on a Monday. How you doing this afternoon? Lots of football to get to. Just had an epic conversation with an old colleague of mine, Steve Zabin from Washington, mm-hmm. D.C. Of course, Jay Gruden got fired today as the head coach of the Redskins. Urban Meyer thrown out as a possibility. We'll dive into that a little bit more.
Yeah. Hey, real quick, because it looks like the Rays are going to win. It would be a game 4. If there is, between the Astros and Rays, it's going to be a 5:07 Eastern time start. If the Yankees win today, if the Twins win, it'll be 2:15.
I hope they get the 5 o'clock. I mean, they deserve a big crowd. There's a nice-looking crowd today.
Where did you see that?
Chandler Rome. I just retweeted it.
Well, you don't.
I don't know if that's correct.
Why?
He writes for the Chronicle.
I got different information from ESPN Radio.
Okay.
Oh. Okay.
So hold off on that.
Yeah. Well, he's right for the Chronicle.
I know, but ESPN Radio has every broadcast, and they sent me.
This came out 2 minutes ago, so they must have announced it in the press box.
What ESPN Radio sent me was if there are two games tomorrow, which the only two games tomorrow would be game 4 of the ALDS series.
Yeah, Yankees Twins.
The Yankees Twins will be at 7:30 if there's a game 4, which would move the Rays up to 4:30. If there's only one game, Astros Rays, that would be at 7:30 at night.
Prime time. All right. Those are conflicting stories.
Yep.
Okay. But anyway, it was good to see an almost full trop today. It's a rarity. And that was for a 1 o'clock game. All right. So OJ Simpson out on Twitter again today.
Juice.
You know the Juice loves to talk about running backs.
Does.
Apparently, skin color matters too.
Apparently.
Talks about white running backs, although there's only one, allegedly.
Well,
is there?
No,
right now.
I literally have not given this any thought. Is there? Is it just Christian McCaffrey?
I'm talking about the color of their skin, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's hear what the Juice has to say.
But there's a lot in the history of the NFL.
Of course.
There's Peyton Hillis.
Wow. Yeah. Great for the Browns.
A lot of fullbacks. Your Mike Allstott.
Turner.
Fullbacks don't count.
Oh, they don't? We're talking tailbacks?
I think we're talking speedy tailbacks.
Okay.
I believe he dives into cornerbacks as well.
Oh, that's an even shorter list.
Yeah. So I can't even throw Brian Piccolo out there because he was a fullback, technically, even though he was the skinniest fullback in the history of the NFL. But Gale Sayers, I mean, he was okay.
We're being discriminated against. Right. Here's O.J. Simpson.
Hey, Twitter world, yours truly. Well, the fifth week is in the can, and some things are beginning to reveal themselves. One, the Dallas Cowboys may not be who we thought they were. The Buffalo Bills defense is for real. They are great. Teddy Bridgewater is more than a seat holder. If and when the time that Drew Brees decides to move on, which I hope isn't soon, if he's still there, the Saints are in good hands. And three, always run your studs, something that I didn't do yesterday in fantasy. I didn't run Josh Jacobs. I bought into the hype that you can't run against Chicago. I forgot that some of my greatest games, 200-yard games when I played, was against the Steel Curtain, the no-name defense in Miami, and the number one defense at the time, the Detroit Lions, on one Thanksgiving Hey-o. Day. Josh Jacobs, you will always be in my lineup, and it hasn't escaped my attention, John Gruden, that he was one of the picks you got for the Khalil Mack trade. So,
good job.
Hey, your plan may just be paying off. When I was a kid, I tried to emulate running backs in the playground. The fly guys like Lenny Moore and Willie Gallimore. Jim Brown was just too big and strong. You couldn't emulate him. But a few white running backs, Paul Hornung and, you know, Jim Taylor, I liked them. Hornung. They were good all the way around. But they weren't fly. The one guy I tried to emulate the most was Hugh McElhaney. Look at film of this guy. They used to call him the King, white halfback, San Francisco 49ers. Well, the great white fly running backs have gone the way of the typewriter and white NFL cornerbacks. They don't exist anymore until now.
Larry Zonka.
Now they got this guy, Christian McCaffrey, who they always refer to as a good all-around back. This guy's more than that. This guy is great. I'm going to call him the great Christian McCaffrey. If I was a kid in the playground, I'd be trying to emulate you. I'm just saying. Take care.
Frank Gifford. No love there?
We got a Rex Burkhead, actually.
Oh,
we got a Rex Burkhead.
Yeah. Wow. Yes.
Somebody semi.
Danny Woodhead. Another one.
Not in the league anymore.
I know.
Not in the league anymore.
You got to go way back.
He was going way back,
too. I know, and we're getting the Zonkas on the text line and all that stuff, but current?
Well, Brian Leonard. Bungles back in the day.
Zonka. We have to go back almost 40 years.
Zonka.
I know. I'm just saying. We got to go back 40 years.
Craig James, Merrill Hodge,
Merrill Hodge. This is the list we're coming up with.
James Conner is not white.
Does he mean the guy? Maybe he means the guy from the Terminator.
I don't know who he's talking
John
about.
John Riggins.
There you go. John white. Riggins. Back in the day. All right, that was a loaded tweet that only OJ could unravel for us.
He breaks it down with the best of them.
And he says, run your studs, even if you're going against good defenses, Chris. Does Chris's fantasies agree with that on 99.3 ESPN.com?
Yeah, especially at running back.
Okay, very good. All right, more reaction to that. We still got to dive into Zabin's comments about Urban Meyer and the Redskins. That's pretty good. So
Toby Gerhart.
Don't forget, we've got a Sheeman.
Guys are nuts.
Sheeman and Shepherd cash grab is coming up in just a few moments. Listen for the word. Text it into the five-digit phone number, 45911, and you could be possibly winning $1,000 within the next 15 minutes. That's next. Sheeman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.